Welcome to a burning fire. Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From the 11th chapter of the book of Mark. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And further down in the chapter, in the 11th, And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto him, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when you pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive. For if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you of your trespasses. Now this is a record of an event just prior to the Lord's crucifixion. There are two matters of concern in the passage: the power of faith and prayer, and the action regarding the fig tree. In this lesson, our concern is with the action regarding the fig tree. It has been a puzzle to many. On another lesson, we'll discuss the power of prayer and faith. But let us understand what actually happened here. Christ saw a fig tree. There were leaves on the tree. He went to get fruit from it, but he found nothing but leaves. He pronounced a curse upon the tree, and it withered. Now this was not a fit of anger nor a deed of vengeance, but an object lesson demonstrating a certain truth that he was presenting. In doing this action, Jesus was not unlike many of the prophets of old, who also acted many of their prophecies to make them more understandable. Jeremiah buried a garment and allowed it to rot, and declared that Judah would likewise be destroyed. He once took a bottle and broke it, saying that Jerusalem would also be broken. Ezekiel imposed upon himself a famine to demonstrate the famine that would come upon Judah. He also took a hair and cut it into three pieces, burning one, throwing another to the wind, and cutting the third with a sword, but keeping back a small portion of it. And by this he illustrated what was to come upon Judah, burning and scattering and death, but the preservation of a remnant. So the action of Jesus here is an object lesson. It was also the manifestation of miraculous power. It was not one of destruction of what was good, but a constructive act through the destruction of what deserved destruction. Jesus was demonstrating a side of deity that some tend to forget, namely, that God, although merciful, is also capable of executing justice and severity. Jesus would have presented the Father deceptively if, while showing God's compassion, he had not also shown his wrath against what deserved it. Now, why was Jesus so indignant toward the tree? Well, there are two very important reasons. But we first must understand something of the nature of the fig tree to understand the reasons. Figs appear before the leaves. The presence of leaves would indicate the presence of fruit if the tree was producing as it ought. It was not the time to expect fruit, but the tree gave the impression it bore fruit by the presence of its leaves. The tree presented itself to be something that it was not. It stood as a lie. It stood as guilty of pretense. It was an example of hypocrisy. It was stealing nutrition from the soil, but it did not deserve the space that it occupied because it was not doing what it was supposed to do. Now, Jesus showed at other times his displeasure when something that has a function and a purpose and a mission was not performing that function. In Matthew 3 and verse 10, the words of John the Baptist, Now also as the axe is laid upon the root of the trees, therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. And in John 15 and verse 6, Jesus said, If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. In Matthew 5 and verse 13, Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. And in Luke chapter 13, 6 through 9, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this one more year, till I dig about it, and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. One can be patient and long-suffering with that which does not perform properly, making every effort, however, to give it time and opportunity, and giving it assistance. But one must realize there comes a time when nothing works, and the thing that is of no value needs to be removed. The fig tree stood as a symbol of conditions both then and now. The Jews were guilty of hypocrisy, talking one way but acting another. And all of their talk was not error. In Matthew 23 and verse 3, Jesus said, All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. James 1, 22 and 23, But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Now this tree that Jesus encountered, by bearing no fruit, only leaves, gave the appearance of goodness. But it was not good. It was guilty of pretense, not performance. So the bold action of Jesus was a stern condemnation of every form of hypocrisy and insincere showiness. Friend, we have a function, we have a purpose, we have a mission. Solomon said to fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. We are to glorify God. We are to spread the tidings of salvation. We are to reflect the brilliance and the beauty of Jesus Christ in our lives. We are to bear good fruit. We are to let our light shine to the glory of the Father in heaven. We are to be pillars in the ground of the truth. Now, Jesus found the fig tree far from what he had a right to expect. Does he find that same thing in us? In John 15, Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away. Every branch that beareth not fruit he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Do we appear to be something that we really are not? Now, we recognize that there is more to serving God than becoming a Christian, even though this is absolutely essential. But there is also the duty of being a Christian, and this involves bearing the kind of fruit that Jesus wants. Now, one may ask, but was there not something beneficial about the fig tree, even though it did not bear fruit? Well, yes, possibly. It possibly gave some shade, even provided a place for a bird that might build his nest. But that was not its primary purpose. As far as its primary duty was concerned, it was useless. Now, I have a wristwatch. It might be used as a toy, or a paperweight, or an ornament, or some other way. But you know, if it will not keep reasonably accurate time, it is useless for the purpose for which it was made. And I have a watch like that. We see the Lord's displeasure with the fig tree because of its hypocrisy, because it was not fulfilling its primary function. Now let us make an application and learn, and let us profit. Friend, the Lord teaches us to attend worship, but even that can be only a show and a pretense if we're not striving to live a Christ-like life each day of our life. Membership in the church, the body of Christ, is absolutely essential to salvation, but if we considered it merely a mark of social respectability and we do not assume the responsibilities of the body, we are like the fig tree. Even prayer can be nothing but leaves if we do not pray with earnestness and faith, in sincerity, according to His will, in His name, and couple that prayer with a pure life. Prayer was a mark of hypocrisy for one man in Luke chapter 18. And Proverbs 28 and verse 9 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." As individuals and as a congregation, we have a primary purpose for existence. It is not to gratify self and to gather material accumulations. We're not here for mere social contracts and fellowship and benevolent deeds. We are for the glorification of God by our lives, and we are to work for the salvation of sinful souls around us by teaching them the saving gospel. It is not our aim to entertain, nor to operate fun and games religion. We are not primarily given to calm emotions and soothe nerves. It is not our task to just try to make people feel good about themselves. A church may have much activity, but never really be much more than just leaves. A church that fails in its duty to proclaim, to defend, to live by the truth is a church of leaves. But God expects the church to be the pillar and the ground of the truth, 1 Timothy 3:15. This truth is what the world so desperately needs. Are we making anything more than just a pretense, an outward appearance, a superficial showing? Well, this is something for which each must examine himself. But surely we can profit from this action of Jesus, and we will, if we allow it to motivate us to analyze ourselves as individuals and congregations to see if we are truly bearing fruit or just leaves. It is possible to have a lot of busyness and still not be doing the Father's business. And before we can bear fruit, we must be a part of the tree, of course, John 15:1-8. We must become attached to the vine, who is Christ. And this we do when we obey the gospel, by believing in Christ, repenting of our sins, confessing our faith in Him, and being baptized into Him for the remission of sins. Then we are prepared, we are ready, and we are expected to bear fruit. More than just leaves. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.